This message was recorded at Leeds Vineyard during a Sunday morning service. Please feel free to copy it or forward it if it's helpful. We pray that it may be God's word in season for you today.
So we're starting a new series called Encounters with Jesus, and we've got a number of those lined up over the next few weeks. John and Ellen Mumford coming next week. This week I want to look at Luke chapter 12. So before we get to that, they say... I've heard this line. They say that where there's a will, there's a relative. Ha. Let me tell you a story about a young man and his will. So his parents had died recently, and obviously he was sad, but he was also looking forward to his legacy. And he'd been thinking about that. Let me see, I could pay off some debts. I can throw up an extension to the house. I can, what else could I do? Ooh, I might upgrade the car and I might just treat myself to a 5G phone. So although he was upset, he was looking forward to his legacy, but he had a problem in that his brother, his elder brother, was using elder brother privileges to slow down the probate process and was questioning the distribution. So this young man, he decides, right, I'm going to get some help, and he goes to Jesus. And he asks Jesus to solve the problem for him. Now, just imagine you're in a hot crowd in Jerusalem, narrow streets, there's trouble in the air, this unorthodox rock star rabbi, Jesus of Nazareth, he's gathering multitudes around him, there's an expectation of a miracle, of a funny story, or maybe he's going to make fun of the Pharisees again. And this young man who's impatient for his legacy makes his way to the front of the crowd, and he gets his question in, and we read about it in Luke chapter 12. Do you want to find that in your Bible or in your device? It goes like this. Someone in the crowd, Luke chapter 12, verse 13. Someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." And Jesus replied, he sidesteps, he swerves it. He's not here to solve our materialistic squabbles. He's here to save our souls and to bring about the kingdom of God. He sidesteps and he says, "Man, who appointed me a judge or an arbiter between you?" And then he turned to people around him and he said, "Watch out. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." That's my theme for today. What does your life consist of? And that's a really awkward thing Jesus has just said. The man's come to him and said, "Tell my brother to share my legacy with me." And Jesus says, "Watch out, be to everybody else about this man. Watch out, be on your guard against all kinds of greed." Awkward, murmuring, shock around the crowd. You can just imagine, what is there to life if possessions don't count? Why doesn't he just help him with the squabble? The elder brother should share it with him. Jesus goes on to tell them the parable. He says, "The ground of a certain rich man yielded an abundant harvest, and he thought to himself, 'What shall I do? I have no place to store my crops.' Then he said, 'This is what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns and I'll build bigger ones, and there I will store my surplus grain. I'll have to open a new ISA for the tax year, and I'll invest in my pension. Maybe I'll buy a bigger house. And then I'll say to myself, you have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take life easy, eat, drink, and be merry.'" Reminds me of those pension adverts, you know, where people in their summery outfits, looking remarkably young, come off the golf course and then are lounging, looking out over the ocean, sipping on their cocktails. Verse 20, God says to him, "You fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. And then who will get what you prepared for yourself? This is how it will be with whoever stores up things for themselves, but is not rich towards God." Tough story to tell in that environment. The rich man would have been in Jerusalem, would have been surrounded by farms, and many of the wealthy people would have been the farmers, the ones who got good land, and it's an agricultural economy. So here is a man whose life is about his wealth. On the face of it, he's done well, he's been successful. Jesus is telling us a good story about him. He's got a good job, a nice house, a nice car. He's brought in a good crop. What's not to like? Is that what life is? Is that what life consists of? And Jesus is asking them, and is asking you, and he's asking me, who are you? Who are you? How do you think of yourself? What does your life consist of? So is it, do you think of yourself and you think me, you think my career, I am this, or do you think about your earnings and what you're able to do in providing for your family or yourself? Do you think in terms of I am the savings I've got and the pension I put aside, or maybe it's to do with that curated image that you project on social media, on TikTok or Facebook, and that's who you think you are, or where you live. I'm somebody from North Leeds, not somebody from somewhere else. Morley, say. Morley's a very nice place. How do I assess my success? Who is this successful man that Jesus is talking about? Because although he is successful, Jesus calls him a fool. Martin Luther King, when he preaches on this passage, he talks about three different aspects, three reasons why the man was a fool. Because he confused the ends for which he lived with the means of living. That was the number one. He confused ends for which he lived for the means by which he lived. And it raises a question, brothers and sisters. Does your life consist of purpose or possessions? The second thing, the reason why Jesus calls him a fool is because he has stepped away from others and claimed independence. In that little short couple of verses, there are 12 personal pronouns that the rich man uses. I don't need you to live, he says. It's all about me. I don't need to live. I don't need you. I can do it my way. You know that song, I Do It My Way. Terrible, terrible song. Such falsehood. Please, please don't use that in your funeral songs. He failed to realize his dependence on others, trying to do it his way. And that begs the question, does your life consist of the giving of yourself to others? And then the third reason Jesus calls him a fool is he says he's denied God. He's claimed control over his own life. One of the major idols of our time is this illusion of control. I'll talk about that more tonight at the study. He's failed to realize that he depends on God for the very breath that he breathes. Does your life, the question is, does your life consist of the presence and power of God? So this rich guy, this rich fool, doesn't really have a life. He doesn't have any meaning. He doesn't have any friends. He doesn't have a purpose. He just has grain, lots of it. So back to my question, what does your life consist of? Have you confused the means by which you live for the purpose of your life? Are you trusting in your career and savings to give you security and to give you purpose? What does your life consist of? Have you closed yourself off to others? Perhaps you hide behind a shiny social media mask. What does your life consist of? Is keeping control over your life separating you from God? You're unable to see and grasp the riches he wants to give you. My invitation to you is to surrender your life to Jesus. Maybe for the first time, it'll be the best decision you ever make. Because this rabbi, Jesus, he challenges our foolishness, but then he goes to the cross and dies for you and for me, for our foolishness, so that we can be saved, so that you and I may have forgiveness for our sins and abundant life forever. Let's turn to prayer about that. I want to pray a repentance prayer about so that we may repent from the foolishness in our lives. So why don't you join with me in praying this as appropriate? Lord, I repent of thinking it's about the crops and not the life the crops gives us. Forgive me for mistaking purpose for possessions. Lord, I repent for trying to be strong and independent of others, for hiding from others. Forgive me for denying myself to others. Lord, I repent of believing I have control of life and I don't really need you, God, of denying you. Forgive me for trying to do it my own way. So as we stand in repentance, let's turn towards receiving the forgiveness that he's promised us. Lord, I receive your forgiveness for that foolishness in my life. I receive your forgiveness. I invite you, Holy Spirit of God, to fill me and grant me a new, eternal, abundant life in which I can be generous towards you. Amen. So may I bless you. May you be set free, washed clean. May your life consist of the abundance of God's grace and the coming of life to your soul and spirit. May your life consist not of the things you have, but of being a child of God, being a member of God's family, being generous towards God. May your life consist of an eternal kingdom inheritance. Amen.